Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later in this week's programme, we'll be hearing about the phenomenal success of the Shop LK initiative. Sales in the first half of this year were up 38%, and there were more than 100,000 in-store transactions. But before that, I've been speaking with Galway-based Joanne Sweeney about her new book, which is called AI Playbook, the strategic guide to AI for marketing and communications. Joanne, who is from Downing's, is well known to many of our listeners, having worked in the Highland Radio newsroom for a number of years before setting up her own company, Media Box in Letterkenny, and then moving to Galway, where she now runs the highly successful Digital Training Institute. With more than 25 years' experience in the digital communications business and the holder of 11 academic and professional qualifications, she is well versed in the whole area of AI, and in particular, its use for those in marketing and communications. I spoke to her recently to find out more about the book. Joanne, delighted to have you on Business Matters as we talk about, well, not just your own business journey, but in particular your latest publication, the AI Playbook, the strategic guide to AI for marketing and communications. Lots to delve into here, but maybe if I could ask you first of all, and looking at the overview in the book, essentially, well, who is the book for?
Well, it's designed for marketing and communications professionals, and I guess my career started with you guys in Highland Radio, and I've never really veered off course, I would say. I've evolved my skill set as communications, moved into digital communications, and now AI-powered communications. And so I've been working and training my peers in public and private sector for 15 years, and this is a handbook for them so that they don't feel AI overwhelm and that they can implement it with confidence and build the competency to develop AI skills that are absolutely essential for everyone. But it's really for my peers in marketing and communications.
And before you actually sat down to write the first few lines of the book, was this something that you'd been thinking about for quite a while?
Well, you know what, Chris? When ChatGPT was launched in November 2022, it was a moment in time that I recognized that my business and my industry was about to change. And I kind of thought about it and I said, well, listen, do I be a first mover and do I bring my sector with me? And I think over those next couple of months, I decided that yes, I would. So I began to experiment, practice, research. And then about a year ago, I decided that, like my previous three books, I said it was time to put pen to paper because I love writing. And I think if you produce a book and you provide information that is practical and applicable in the workplace, then it'll help you stand head and shoulders above the rest. And I'm in a competitive marketplace. And so the book is an aid, not just for my peers, but also for me to kind of get me recognition and authority here in Ireland, but of course across the world too. And there was kind of a lovely moment. And, you know, we've all these old bands coming back. And, you know, I was listening to Disco 2000 and it brought me back to the year 2000, Y2K, when we thought that, you know, when the clocks struck midnight in 1999, going into the new year, that everything would just collapse, and it didn't. But around that time, I was studying journalism in the University of Galway, and I was learning shorthand, and I was learning touch typing. And I just had this moment of going, oh my God, that's 25 years ago. I haven't used shorthand since my days in Highland Radio. And I am a good touch typer now, but now I also have AI assistance. And it just was, and that's how I opened the book, bringing people into that journalism classroom back in the university. And we've just come so far in terms of communications and marketing and where it is.
Is it fair to say in some respects a lot of people are maybe a little bit fearful of AI and what lies in store? It's somewhat disruptive, but it's all about being able to adapt and evolve, and it's vital if you want to move with things, you have to simply learn the new skills.
Yeah, it's the biggest technological revolution, greater than the smartphone and the internet itself. And one way I can maybe illustrate that for your listeners is that, you know, it took Netflix 10 years to get 100 million users. It took ChatGPT 18 months to get 800 million users. It is now a tool that is used by so many people every single day, and also the exponential growth of the technology and what it can do for us. And people are right to be afraid, because in the wrong hands, the technology is dangerous. But what I'm trying to do is to encourage and empower people to use AI for good, because let me tell you, we need more people on that side of the fence. And what I want people to understand from the book is that it is an assistant. It might augment your role in that we'll have more free time for creative thinking, you know, for writing, for strategy, and then those drudge, repetitive, menial tasks that none of us enjoy doing, we can give that to our AI assistant. So I would say that the way to get out of the fear is to understand the technology and then start playing with it, practicing it. And once you see the value, you will embrace it. So the book is also there to take away that fear.
And as you say, this isn't a book you simply read. It's a book that you work with. And you also state, well, here's the reality. If we don't step up, we risk being left behind by those who do. This book is your wake-up call. So that, those few lines, that sums it up in many respects.
It does, but it's also reflective of how industries are changing. So you have the likes of the World Economic Forum and LinkedIn producing studies. And now what employers and recruitment companies are looking for in terms of skill sets, they're looking for people who understand AI and can use it in practice. And it's not about AI taking your job. It's the people who understand AI that's going to take your job. And let me tell you, you don't need to be technologically minded. In fact, anyone can learn it very, very quickly. And what is important is that it helps you lean into your zone of genius. So let's say I was using ChatGPT to ask it about biomedical science. I would have absolutely no idea whether it was hallucinating and making it up or giving me something that's really concrete and adding value. But if I ask it about my world of communications, digital marketing, you know, pay-per-click advertising, I can use it as an assistant because I am the expert in those fields. And so it's remarkable. You probably have some listeners who are using it even in their personal lives for recipes or for organizing holiday itineraries. And many of the tools are absolutely free.
And what I think will draw many people into the book, they may pick it up at the beginning and start off with a degree of curiosity, but you've questions and prompts throughout the book, and you know that acts as a catalyst to get people thinking about things, and maybe they might go off on their own tangent, but at least they're generating the ideas and thinking more about it.
Yeah, and what I've learn from being in a classroom with people and teaching them is that you just see the white of their eyes as that curiosity builds, and when the penny drops of how they can use it in practice in their workplace, they get this sense of being empowered and excited, and that's how we should feel. And so the book is aimed to be as jargon free as you can when we have a whole set of new words and terms that we need to learn, but I'm a very practical and conversational writer. And I think it's not overwhelming. It has an index at the back of the book, so you can go to any word, get into any page, look at the chapters, and definitely dip in and dip out. A lot of people would just keep my books on their desk and use it as an aid. And so I think that, you know, if you really want to get over fear, get over overwhelm, it will be a really good support from you. And I promise you, you will be completely AI literate. And if you take on the tasks that I encourage you to do with the step-by-step guides, you will become completely AI competent. So that's the promise. And I guess I put all of my knowledge and experience and practice into a book, and it feels great to hand it over to people and to give them that confidence and competency.
Absolutely. I know one of the chapters is titled Leadership in the AI Age, and you say the future of marketing isn't human versus machine, it's human with machine. And I suppose when you actually think about that a little bit more, that makes so much sense.
It is. And I was in Harvard Kennedy School recently doing one of their summer executive education programs on AI and public policy. And there was the most simple statement put up in one of our classes. And the lecturer, Teddy Sabor, said, you know, it's about AI plus me equals better. And it was so simple, something that you might teach to a child. And I was like, that is it. And actually, when I came back from Harvard, and I know you got an advanced copy, Chris, I added an extra chapter to the book based on some of the new knowledge that I got. But that's it. Me plus AI equals better, and that's what you've got to remember, because you are bringing so much to the table. And in fact, one of our lecturers said that there are companies now out there who are buying original content from organizations and individuals, because the value of original content and expert knowledge is so rich. Because remember, the AI models are trained on everything that exists on the internet, but how are they going to upskill the models and the supercomputer brains? It's the knowledge that we have. So never forget that what you are bringing, all the years of experience, intuition, nuance, context about your company, your organization, the AI wants that from you, but that's what you're bringing to the table.
And ultimately, AI is only as good as the humans behind it.
Well, that's it. They say garbage in, garbage out. You know, and people complain that the models are stupid or that they hallucinate, and they do, they make things up. But you have got to manage it. It's just like having a human assistant on your team. If somebody came in from TY, from university, or from, you know, any sort of program, and they were brand new, you would have to brief them, you'd have to train them, you'd have to coach them, you'd have to give them feedback on what they produced. And that's exactly what you do with these AI models. And there are ways to do that efficiently and effectively. And I share all of those insights in the book.
Now, what I found reading the book, it flows so easily, and I was immediately taken in by a number of things. Indeed, even in the first chapter, you have a bit about Henry Ford being the AI godfather of his era, and of course, most of us well familiar with Henry Ford. But it was a good way, I think, sort of to kick things off, and you had some good examples there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I remember my dad talking about, you know, when his father and grandfather was alive, and they're farmers down in Glen Carrigart, and the horse and cart. And then you had Henry Ford bringing in the automobile and mechanizing everything, and that was the first technological revolution. They were all afraid. They wondered what would happen, you know, with now these motorized vehicles on roads and potentially replacing them. But absolutely not. And so, you know, I did think about Henry Ford in my writing and even in my work, because people had fear, and this is just natural evolution. But what we do need is we need people to embrace it and not to step away from it, because it is here. And another point that I would make in one of the chapters, I explore how different countries and continents are adopting AI. And in Ireland, we have a strategy, and it's called AI Here for Good. And people should Google that and have a read of it. And every country in the world now has some sort of AI policy or legislation or strategy. And that's what's going to drive our economies, but also with humans at the helm. So we need the people to power the bots and not the other way around. And it's an opportunity for everyone to get involved. And actually, it's very low cost. The technology before this was hugely expensive. And so AI is kind of giving a level playing field to people. And we are going to see solopreneurs who are building billion euro companies, such as the accessibility of this technology.
And tell me, Joanne, AI is very much in common use now. Everybody's talking about it. But even in from your own point of view, like, when did it sort of first really become on the horizon? How long ago were people beginning to talk about it? Can we trace it back to any particular decade?
Well, we can. We can trace it back to the late 40s and the 50s. And, you know, there's, I talk about the few good men of AI, and then the godmother of AI. And this were, these were just kind of science engineers just looking at how computers can work and writing computer software. And there was a bit of a lag between the 50s and the noughties. You know, IBM had Watson in the 90s. And, you know, the pace had slowed. But then we got into, you know, the internet and the smartphone, and that kind of took over the technological revolution. But then we jumped in to the 2020s, and we had these large language models, and OpenAI, the company that produces ChatGPT. That was that exponential growth between 2022 and where we are now in 2025, where they have those 800 million users, and it's now mainstream. You know, we're not Googling anymore. We're talking to AI. We're having a two-way conversation. And in fact, Google have had to reorientate their whole business model, because guess what? Search is going to be dead very, very soon because we're not doing it. So, yeah, we can trace it back. There's a very definitive timeline in the book, but it's the speed in the last couple of years. That's what's making the difference after about 50 years of it just kind of progressing at an evolutionary slower pace. The acceleration is what's making it. And then the other thing to note is NVIDIA, who is the creator of the chips. These are these super powered chips that you need in order to power large language models. We also need data centers, and that's a whole other conversation. But definitely the technology exists. And everybody is experimenting, from education to healthcare to retail to marketing and comms, of how we can use it to improve experiences and also to make our lives easier.
Well, you're an expert in the field of marketing and communications. And in the book, you give a number of examples of ways that AI is transforming the whole marketing side of things. So maybe you can just elaborate on that a little bit and give us a few examples.
Well, yeah, I mean, as a marketer, one of my jobs is to come up with ideas, campaigns, methodologies of how to reach the right people at the right time on the right device. And all of that now you can ask ChatGPT. So, you know, am I redundant? Well, part of me is, only that I know how to steer the AI models. So ideation and brainstorming, it's fantastic. It's a great copywriter. If you're not a natural writer, and I know loads of people who will look at an email, a blank email, and will procrastinate because they're not a natural writer. If you speak into ChatGPT, it will write for you. So if you give it your thoughts, it's a great companion. In terms of writing strategy, you can ask these AI models to act like a senior marketing director with 20 years experience working in a major consultancy firm like Accenture and having to create a pitch for a potential business opportunity. The latest model, ChatGPT-5, Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, says that this model is like having a PhD level expert on your team in any discipline. That is the promise that ChatGPT. So it's, yeah, it can do anything that I can do, and you might argue, can it do it better?
So the book itself, Joanne, just tell us when it is going to be officially launched, and how can people get a copy of it?
So it's going to be officially launched on Friday the 12th of September at an event in Dublin in the Mason Hotel. I'm also going to hold a two-hour masterclass at that event, and it's absolutely free. If you want to come along, just go to aimarketingplaybook.ie. But you can also pre-order the book. And if you do pre-order before the 12th of September, you will get a free online AI masterclass with me.
And before we let you go, just to bring us up to speed on your own career, many of our listeners may recall the days when you were with Highland Radio. Then you had a media box located here in Letterkenny before you went to Galway. You now have the Digital Training Institute. You're always on the go. You've 11 academic and professional qualifications. So in a nutshell, what is your main concentration of work at the moment?
Yeah, so I've niched into two main sectors, Chris, government and public sector, and also the radio sector. And I've had the pleasure on an ongoing basis to work with your colleagues at Highland through the Learning Wave SkillNet. And I deliver training and develop strategy for organisations across Ireland. And I do a lot of work in the Brussels bubble with the EU institutions. And the week before my book launch, I will be presenting at a government conference in Las Vegas, where they'll have 600 attendees. So, bringing the gospel according to Joanne and AI across the world is hopefully what I can and continue to do for years to come.
Yeah, and you've never been afraid to negotiate hurdles, no matter how high they may seem. And that's part of, I suppose, your advice to people. Look, if you have a dream, if you have a talent, if you're dedicated and you can put in the hard work, you can achieve so much.
Oh, you can, absolutely. And what I've learned over 20-odd years, Chris, of working, and 15 of those maybe being self-employed, is, you know, the days when I believed in myself were the days that the needle moved. And it's really, really important. And surrounding yourself with people who are not just yes people, but, you know, will ask the right questions of you, but will help you in the good days and the bad days. And, yeah, self-belief has been one of those things that I've tried to hang on to, and not to be afraid to try, and also not to be afraid to fail, because the biggest lessons are when you lose, not when you win.
And Joanne, just before I let you go, the private sector, the public sector, is one likely to embrace AI more than the other, do you think?
Yeah, I think the private sector is definitely going to be a faster mover than the public sector. However, the Irish government has in its AI strategy that they will have all public and civil servants AI competent, literate and skilled up by 2030. So they are ambitious. We do have a Minister for AI, Minister Niamh Smith. So they do have big plans, but I suspect because there's early commercial wins, the private sector will be taking advantage much more quickly.
But ultimately, going forward, I take it you'd be pretty upbeat and positive about Ireland Inc. and where we are going.
Oh, absolutely. And even when I was in the United States, I was only one of three Europeans in that class of 73. I mean, Europe has the most robust legislation around AI. Ireland has always been seen as a leader in tech. Our highly educated teams, our ability to be agile with technological advances, and I think our reputation for being the EU home of big tech, we have to take this opportunity, and it is for everyone, no matter of your age, your educational background, or whatever industry you are in. This opportunity is going to give you a massive return if you just step into it. And that's really my plea to your listeners, is take advantage, because there are wins for you.
And my thanks to Joanne Sweeney, the author of the AI Playbook, the strategic guide to AI for marketing and communications. You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore, Changing Tack Now, and I've been speaking with Tony Forrester, Chief Executive of Letterkenny Chamber, about the continued success of the Shop LK initiative. In fact, that's an understatement. It's been a real success story, so to get some more details, I paid a visit to the Chamber's office in Letterkenny to find out more. Tony, it's been a great first 6 months of the year from a Shop LK point of view, and the figures, they speak for themselves.
Well, they absolutely do, and we always look at our figures ourselves, obviously, but we don't always publish them. So 38% increase in sales in this first 6 months. We have 20,000 physical Andy cards given out. So if you think about that in population terms, like, everybody's got one. 500,000 on e-cards, and e-cards were new for us last year, so we're delighted in this first 6 months that we've seen that amount. But the really interesting, I suppose, stat that we've come up with was the transaction number. So 102,600 transactions have taken place in Letterkenny in our 270-80 outlets using Shop LK gift cards. So think about that. That's somebody walking in into a retail or some of our outlets and spending on our cards.
They've become part of the local vocabulary. In fact, I used a Shop LK card twice last week. And many people, you know, it's a very handy gift. It's very useful. I suppose when it all started off, little could you have thought it would have been so successful.
We always actually say this. So we're 21 years old now, 20, something like that. And it's phenomenal what it's done. And it grew from nothing. It grew from tiny amount, you know, 38,000 we maybe sold in a year, only at Christmas. We sell every single day. People buy them for prizes, they buy them for bonuses. So there's a lot of corporates ones out there who give their staff rewards. It's tax efficient to do it that way as well. But I agree with you. I think people, it's not even a do you take Shop LK cards anymore. It's I'm paying with this. And now we have the digital cards. Sometimes we don't even know what you're paying with because it's in your wallet. So you just tap. And it's been a really interesting journey. I've been here for about 17 years of it. And we have been astounded every year at how phenomenal the growth is. And that's people supporting local businesses. And I suppose when it comes fundamentally down to it, that's the important bit, that we're doing those 102,000 transactions in businesses that are creating employment for everyone.
Yeah. And just elaborate on the whole e-cards, just how they have evolved, because that's the way to go.
Yeah. Yes, we moved to our new provider last year, last July kind of thing, and they have an e-card facility. So basically you download and we send a code to the recipient, you can buy them online, and the person then downloads the app and it goes into their wallet. So it's a really, really handy way. Everybody taps these days. Everybody does that all the time. So now they have the Shop LK card. And we will see that it's new yet for us, I suppose. So we would imagine over the next year, if 500,000 already, you know, over the next year, it's going to grow and grow and grow. And a lot of people will use it as their preference. Maybe not for Christmas, because Christmas people like to get a card. But we would say people will start using that as their sort of everyday cards.
So explain to me, if I go in and I get my €100 worth of credit on the Shop LK card, obviously there's a cost involved. So who's actually taking that little cost for the whole background to it and the admin?
Okay, so there is a charge for e-cards, and you just go online, you buy the card, you send it to whoever you want to send it to. They download the app. We basically pay for the whole system. So it's our company. The company we use is called MyConnex, and they're doing all the cards mostly in Ireland now. And basically then it's free for you to use. So you get it as the person on your phone, just on your phone, and you download it. Or you just use it. So it's free to you. The person buying it pays a little charge, but basically it's free to use after that.
And the fact that it's now become commonly accepted, I'm sure you've people coming to you now rather than you going to them in the early years of the chamber. You needed people to come on board, but now people know it's an advantage to be there.
Yeah, so I suppose in terms of who takes the cards. Mm. So even this year, I've had about 9 or 10 new ones. We generally don't have to go out and sell it to people. They usually ring us up because some of our lovely customers have gone in and said, do you take this card? And they say, no. And then ask us, can they join? Now, there is obviously we do charge our retailers a fee, but that's really just to help us run it. Because obviously these systems cost money, so it helps us run the system. And most of our, all of our outlets should get enough to cover the fee.
Now, the Chamber itself, membership on an upward trajectory at the moment. So that's very encouraging and augurs well for the future.
Yeah, so this year we've been delighted to say we've got 34 new members as of today. And all from all sectors and people maybe who never were members of the Chamber, you know, that we had never really talked to before. And a lot of that's just coming from our business development executive Claire Moore, who is obviously working hard to bring them in. We've run more events this year, so people come to those, see what we're doing and like it. And we have our board as well, who are referring people. So they're thinking about who isn't a member. We obviously, I always keep saying this, we are open to any type of business and from any place. So if they're from any part of Donegal, why not come and give us a call and have a chat and see what the chamber would be relevant for them. I suppose we do a lot of stuff that nobody knows about, so we run events, but we also do a lot of lobbying work, and we've been busy this year on various things. You know, we had a conversation with the Gardaí this year about community safety because it was concerning us. We've had we had Dara Cleary, Minister, up with us for our business lunch, and we presented to him on the issues that we have around infrastructure. And all of that stuff that our businesses tell us all the time, you know, with skills, infrastructure. So our job is around lobbying, is our main concern, but members get a lot more from that, you know. So the members who are engaged with us, and especially new members, they get involved, and once they get involved, they can see where they can benefit, and they can get work from the Chamber as well.
One of the initiatives that the Chamber has is an Employee of the Month. You've had a great response, and often it can be maybe an unsung hero, and people, it's nice to see that recognition.
Yeah, so this is a category within our Chamber Business Awards. We started last year, and we start sort of halfway through the year, so our first one was announced yesterday for June. And it was Jacqueline from KO Fitness. I'll give her a wee shout out. It's been a really popular award, so that the winners go forward then to be Employee of the Year. It's sponsored by Donegal ETB, and it's really, I suppose, yes, you're right, it's the businesses don't work on their own in isolation. You know, the person sets the business up, but they need employees to really make it work, and it's brilliant to be able to give credit to those people behind the business, I suppose, who are interacting with customers every single day. And we always get a real good feel about it, and people love to be given that credit.
And that brings us on to the business awards themselves, which will be held in November. Now, the deadline has passed for all the nominations, so what's the next stage?
Yeah, so we closed the entries a week ago, and we've had a increase in entries across the categories, so we're delighted with that. We have around 14 categories, lots and lots of them, and we're delighted again to have Airgrid as our main principal sponsor, and all our other sponsors came back again. So at the moment, what we're doing is, this is the adjudication sort of stage, and we will move into judging probably towards the end of the month. And our shortlists will start to go out early September. There's always a buzz around that because we start announcing the shortlist and ask people to sort of just make comment on it. And it creates great social media posts for us. And then that builds up into the event on the 7th of November. You know, and the last few years we've had a fabulous response to that. So we don't see why it'd be any different this year. Our entries this year definitely are from businesses we maybe haven't seen before, and some returning, but some new ones, and people entering sort of multiple categories. So we're really pleased with the response so far.
And just to point out, it's the Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards, but it is a countywide award.
Yeah, nearly all our categories, with the exception of maybe two, are countywide. And I think looking at the entries, we can reflect that you'll reflect that in the shortlisting as well.
And finally, if people want to keep abreast of developments, your own social media platforms are probably as good as any way to keep an eye on things.
Yeah, so we're for the Chamber, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and for ShopLK, we have on the same, but also TikTok. New to me, but anyway, it's there. So yeah, please do try and follow us and give us a little like.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Until the next time, I'll conclude by saying thanks for listening, and I wish you a healthy, happy, and profitable week ahead. Goodbye.